We're talking about the temple of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. Okay, I'm going to start today's sermon with a question. Okay, let me take you into questions today. All right? Anybody ready? Right, so we're talking about the temple of the Spirit. Actually, before we take the question, let's first read 1 Corinthians 6. Open to 1 Corinthians 6. You're going to understand 1 Corinthians 6 today like you've never understood it before. Because I myself have understood it like I've never understood it before. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're reading verse 18 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. Okay? So we're going to be that blessed person that will have the first reading. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. I said the first hand is Sister Pamela. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. We're still waiting for Audrey. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20.
Run from sexual sin.
Run.
No, the
from sin. Just wait. Run from what? Sexual sin. Continue.
No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does.
That means that one is in sexual sin is in a separate category. You see, all sins are sins, but not all sins are equal. Hello? All sins are what? But not all sins are equal. Okay, continue.
For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body.
It is a sin against your whole body. It is a sin against your whole body. So he's telling you that there's something it does to your body directly that no other sin can. Okay? There are similar sins against the body. But this one is a chief of them. Continue. That's not where I'm going. You know, I'm going to verse 19 and 20, but it's good to comment on that. Continue.
Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Say to yourself, say my body.
My body.
Say my body. Is spiritual. Is that right? Why is my body spiritual? Because my body is the temple. Hallelujah. My body is the temple. But not just a temple, the temple. Say, my body is spiritual. I know we talked before, you know, last week and 2 weeks ago, we talked about the sinful nature residing in the body and in the mind. The uncontrolled body. If you're going to give your body to every appetite it wants, you will definitely be in sin. And if you're going to allow any thought and any emotion to go through your mind and respond to it, you definitely be what? In sin. And that's why as a believer, you have to renew your mind with the word of God. And you have to control your body. Amen? Say, I have the power to control my body. I mean, we know it even in you know, in the general secular world. If you want to achieve success the right way, okay? Because you can achieve success the wrong way, you know? You can manipulate, you know? Cheat, steal, you know? Kill, and make money. It's possible. I said it last time. The devil can make you rich. Amen? But if you want to do it the right way, the way that glorifies God, then you will have to control your body. Because if you don't have self-control, it will compromise your success. Am I right? Any field. You need what? Self-control. Okay? But that's not where we're going. Continue. Say, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I understand today that my body is not just anybody. My body is spiritual. Because nothing can be more spiritual than the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hello? Nothing can be what? Than what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is spiritual. There's a high price on my body. Hallelujah. Say there's a high price on my body. Continue, please. Verse 19.
Who lives in you and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself.
You do not belong to yourself. Say, I do not belong to myself. I do not own myself. I do not own my body. Verse 20, please.
For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body.
Hallelujah. The whole reason why your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit is so that you can glorify God with your body. So first question is this. It's very simple. You know it. Yeah? Why do you need a body? I mean, you're a spirit and you have a soul. Even without your body, you have memory, imagination, will, you know, thoughts, you know. There's so much about you that is much more than your body. You know that. You know, right now, as you're looking at me, I can't read what's in your mind. Huh? But something is right there. And despite the fact that you're not talking, it's there. Yeah, there's so much more about the human than the body. Why do you need a body? Yes? Let's have some answers. Why do you need a body? Think about it. Why do you need a body? Yes?
To live.
To live on the earth. Okay, I'll take that. You know, you don't need a body to live. Except on the earth. Huh? You know, people that have died, they are still alive. It's just that they are not on the earth. You didn't realize that? Yeah? No, a spirit cannot die. A spirit cannot die. You know why? Spirits came from God. It can't die. A spirit can only change location. A spirit can never die. It can only change what? Location. That's why God did not kill the devil. Do you understand? He's a spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even at the end of time, God will not kill the devil. He will cast him into the lake of fire. Spirits don't die. They change location. Are you with me? Yes, but that's right. You need a body to live on the earth. Yes, anybody want to give me more? It's along that line anyway. Yeah? Yes. Why do you need a body?
The body enables you to function as a person.
The body, no matter what you have in your mind, no matter what you have in your spirit, no matter what is going on inside of you, to function as on the earth, you need a body. Have you thought about it that way? Yes, I like that. Any other person want to finish it off? It's along the same lines. Except you have a surprise answer for me. Why do you need a body? Have you ever thought about it? Why do you need a body? Why is your body so important? Yes. Thank you.
For humanly function.
Yeah, to function. I think we hit it. Let me give you a full answer. But same answer, exactly what you said. You need a body. Jesus says, I need my body. I want you to understand that. You need your body. You do need what? Your body. You need your body to be able to function and have full expression on the earth. Hallelujah. You need your body to be able to what? Function and have what? Full expression on the earth. Without a body, you cannot have full expression. Amen? So now you understand that sickness is sin to the body. I explain that again. When your body cannot function well, a sin has been committed against it. Let me explain that again. For the body, yeah? Sickness is a sin to the body because it stops it from what? Functioning. The same way, sin is sickness to the spirit. Because what? It stops it from functioning. That's why I see that a Christian who is perpetually living in sin is dying spiritually. They are sick spiritually. Do you understand? Sin is sickness to the spirit. And sickness is what? Sin to the body. Because it stops it from functioning. Hallelujah. Now, if I'm going to glorify God in my body, it needs to be well. Amen? And anything that wants to stop my body from being in health is trying to commit a sin against my body. Hallelujah? Hallelujah? I want you to see it that way. I want to see what? It that way. Next question. We're going somewhere. So let me, today's questions. Aha. So now we have talked about this body that we need it to function, to live, and to have full expression. So what things, I want some lists, I have like 10 in my own sermon notes. Give me some examples of things that can stop the body from functioning well. Yes, there's a long list of things that can stop your body from functioning well. Yes, let's have some answers. Yes, but
pride.
Pride? Okay, can you expand it a bit for the benefit of those who don't understand? Well, how can pride stop your body from functioning well?
Well, somebody who has pride, mm-hmm. look down so many things and you won't function. You won't, the opportunities that will come your way, you will not take. I mean, it's not functioning effectively. It's not.
So, pride. Pride can even make you to, pride can push you to punish your body. Let me give a classical example. You know why I'm giving this example? I've been there. Then I repented. A husband is angry with his wife. So she's cooked nice food. And then he decides to go hungry. What's behind it? Pride. Amen? I used to do that like 10 years ago. That's why you need God to open your eyes. So now, I still get angry because I'm human. Yeah? I'm human. But I will eat. Hallelujah. And when I'm eating, I must thank God for the person that cooked it. It doesn't matter how angry I am. Because if I eat that food and I don't thank God for who cooked it, it's a sin. Praise the Lord. You see, what you need in your life is wisdom. Yes. Let's have some examples of some things that can stop the body from functioning properly. I mean, I'm surprised. There's some very obvious things. Let's go to youth first. Yes. Give an example of something that can stop your body from functioning, you know, efficiently or properly.
Stupidity.
Come on. I need some more practical, tangible things directly. Not indirectly, directly. Like that, the pride answer is not direct.
Greed.
Yeah? The answer there is starvation. Yes?
Bad health.
Sickness. Okay, you're using too big English. Yes? Christian? Yes, sickness is right.
I was going to say bitterness.
Bitterness. That's another indirect thing. Because how can bitterness stop your body from functioning well? Now we have to link it to the real reason behind it. Yeah? Give an example. Just any example.
I don't know. I think when you're bitter against someone, you can't even see the wrong in what you're doing, mm-hmm. the way you're continuing to hold a grudge.
Yeah, that noise in your mind.
And yeah, so you don't treat the person accordingly or think of their feelings because you're just too bitter to get over.
Absolutely.
And to move on. So altogether, that's a sin, really.
All that in your mind. That's in your mind, yeah? But let me link it. It's right. It's just indirect. Bitterness can lead you to mental depression. And if you are depressed mentally, you may not even be able to move your hands. The hands are too heavy to move because your mind is heavy. So it's right. But the direct cause there is mental depression. Yes? I'm coming to you. There's so long a list, we can find room for everyone.
If you're hungry and thirsty.
Starvation.
Starvation.
Look, it's not hunger that... Actually, hunger can, yeah?
Thirst.
It's all in degrees, yeah? Yeah, I take the answer. There are some people that if they are hungry, even a little bit hungry, they start shaking. Huh? They start shaking. So it's starting. But obviously to the ultimate starvation, yeah? You can't function. Amen? Do you agree? And the thirsty is even worse. And we all do it. And we can cope with it. But when that thirst starts becoming more severe, you start getting dehydrated. And you can have series of problems, including urinary tract problems. So that's why we say people say drink water. Please turn to your neighbor, smile at them, tell them, say drink water. Hallelujah. Yes. Give an example of something that can stop your body from functioning properly. Directly. I'm looking for direct causes, not indirect.
Too much of burgers.
Okay, gluttony. Yes, gluttony and obesity. Gluttony, it's in my list. Gluttony, that's eating too much. And obesity can cause stop your weight from functioning properly. If you're at work and then you go for lunch and you eat three portions for instead of one, you may be sleepy for the rest of the day. Gluttony and obesity can stop your body or hinder your body from functioning what? Properly. Yes, I take it. Yes. Did you have a answer? Did you put up your hand? You want another turn? Just wait. Let's go around first turn. Sorry? Okay, yes.
If you are working too hard. Stress.
Everyone put your hands together for mommy. You know why? In one go, she hit 4 items on my list. Let me list them. Stress. Overwork, fatigue. Tiredness. That's not resting. Yes? Stress, fatigue, tiredness can stop your body from functioning what? You read something, you start missing, you start forgetting things. Yeah? You start forgetting things, you start missing out things. As I was saying like 3 weeks ago that, rest, the principle of the Sabbath is rest and trust. We should walk, but we should also what? Rest and trust God. Otherwise, you can't even function optimally. If you are working all the time, overworking all the time, you are not optimal, I tell you. You may think you are deceiving yourself. You are not, because God did not make you like that. Amen? Yes? What things can stop your body from functioning properly? Direct causes, not indirect.
Sleeplessness,
that's right on my list. May God deliver you all from sleeplessness in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, sleep in the right quantity is a blessing. Hallelujah. Sleep is a good and perfect gift from God. Do not abuse it. Because those who are suffering sleeplessness, they know how they are praying to God to overcome it. Hallelujah. Your body needs sleep. Yeah? Sleep enough. Amen? Put off your TV earlier. That's for the men. That's their problem. Yes, men, they like to just watch TV too late. Put it off earlier and go to bed. You will gain 1 extra hour. You will perform better at work. Amen? Yeah? I don't know the problem for the women, but let's talk about the men. Yes! I need to move on, but let's take 2-3 more answers.
Substance abuse.
Yes! Yes! Substance abuse. Those substances, they are called hard drugs. Substance abuse. Yeah? When you put in a drug to your body, that medical drugs help to heal and cure your body. Z, you're welcome. Huh? Amen? If you're not well, you go to give a drug. They give something to help you recover. Yeah? That's a good drug. A hard drug, let me define a hard drug. A hard drug is anything you are taking that is doing no benefit to your body apart from pleasure. Listen to that again. Anything you are consuming that has no benefit to your body apart from pleasure. In fact, actually, medically, anything you are consuming that is toxic to your body. It is toxic. It's a poison. Your kidney is working extra hard to remove it. Yeah? You are only consuming it for pleasure. And it can stop the function of your body. And of course, top on the list is alcohol. Alcohol is a drug. I didn't say wine. I said what? Alcohol. Because wine doesn't have to be alcoholic. It doesn't have to. In fact, the alcohol in wine is just percentage. Amen? Usually it's less than 5%. So take the wine, remove the alcohol. Amen? Even beer doesn't have to be alcoholic. Hallelujah. You just need to go and look for non-alcoholic beer. It will taste the same, but no alcohol. If you cannot drink non-alcoholic beer, that's if you're a beer drinker, you are drinking the beer for the drug. Are you getting me? You are drinking the beer for the hard drug in it. And that hard drug in it is toxic to your body. It does no benefit at all to your body. Your kidney work hard, tirelessly to remove it. That's why you knock out. Are you with me? You need to stop deceiving yourself. Amen? If it's the taste you like, they are out there. In fact, actually, with what's going on in this new generation, there'll be more and more non-alcoholic tasting the same, but without the drug. Hallelujah. Anything you are taking just for the pleasure of it, but it's toxic to your body, is a hard drug. And it is not good for the function of your body. Okay? One more. No, I'm not going to give 2 tons because of time. Yes? One more. Hey, something that can disturb
worry,
or stop.
Worry and anxiety.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. But it's just indirect because the effect of all those are mental depression. Amen? You see, when you start worrying, that's not when it stops the function of your body. It's when it dominates you. Amen? When it overtakes you. The mind then cannot function well, and then indirectly, you know, your body cannot function well. Okay? Yeah. Because of time. You know, if I kept you here till 2 now, you will not be happy. Yeah? So, let me just give my list again. We said it. What things can disturb the good function of the body? Sickness and disease. It's top on the list. Amen? I cannot glorify God with my body when it is sick. You know why? Because every good work I want to do for God, I need good health. Huh? See, think about it. If I can't move my leg and I can't speak, can I preach now today? No. You need good health. Since you say I need good health. And I glorify God when my body is healthy. And that's why you should settle the question once and for all that as far as God is concerned, He wants you to be well. As far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, He doesn't just want you to be well. He needs you to be well. Listen to that. Listen. Listen to what I'm saying. God wants you to be well. But the Holy Spirit needs you to be well. Can everybody give me why? Why does the Holy Spirit need you? I said God wants you to be well. That's the Father. But the Holy Spirit needs... Jesus wants you to be well. But the Holy Spirit needs you to be well. He needs it. Why does the Holy Spirit need you to be well while the others want you to be well? Anybody?
Because the Holy Spirit resides in the body.
Because your body lives. Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't understand the problem. Let me explain to you the real deal there. You see, many times we have a false understanding of God. For example, if you think that, you know, everything that happens in this world, God is in control. Yeah? It's a lie. If God was in control of everything that happens in this world, why do bad things happen? When the thief went to burgle the house, was God the one that controlled him? No. Amen? God is only in control of those who submit to Him. But His grace allows people to choose until the time of judgment. And there's time of judgment in this world, and there's also the time of judgment to come. Are you with me? It's a balance. God's love gives us free will. But we must reap the consequences of our free will. But His grace also provides mercy. Amen? Even when you're free will, you've made the wrong choice, you can go back to God. And His grace will give you mercy when you repent. He's a good God. Love demands that you have free will. If you don't have free will, you're a robot. You can't love. Robots cannot love. Robots cannot what? So that's why you were. Stop praying that your husband become a robot for you. You know, a robot will do everything you want. They can't love you. Is it husbands? Love your... So even your prayer is that your husband do exactly as you want him to do all the time. What has he become? A robot. He can't love you anymore. Praise the Lord. That was a balancing goal. Yeah? Hallelujah. Love demands free will. The greatest thing you can receive is the one that you know that the person chose to give you. Not that you forced them. You can't force love. You can only receive it. Hallelujah. So your prayer should be, God, open the eyes of my husband. You're not praying that enough. Lord, open the eyes of my wife. Help them to see as you see. When they start seeing better, they will start loving better. They will start respecting better. That's why God told you to pray. You can pray. If you believe that your prayer will be answered, it will be. He if you don't believe in your prayers, forget the answer. If you don't believe in your prayer, you prayed, I know you prayed, but you don't believe in it, forget it. You're not going to get any answer. For you to get answers in prayer, you must believe that God is hearing you and that he will answer you. It's the minimum condition. Praise the Lord. If God ever answered your prayer when you didn't believe, yeah, it's called mercy. It's not faith. It's mercy. Because God causes his rain to fall on the good and the evil. You know why he does that? Without mercy, nobody can come to God. Amen? When you want to come to God, he will first show you mercy. Amen? He will not give you what you deserve. He will give you what you don't deserve. It's his own advertisement. Amen? God's mercy is his own advertisement to you. Don't sleep on mercy. It was to advertise you in. So you can start living in the fullness of grace. And if you want to live in fullness of grace, you need obedience. Hallelujah. If you want to enjoy fullness of grace, you need obedience and service. But if all your life, all you want to live is in mercy. Yeah? All you want to live is in mercy. Yeah? You are on the minimum point. It's mercy drop. You don't get the fullness. Mercy. So all your day you'll be begging God. God doesn't want you to beg him. Begging is for servants. Beg, Lord, I beg you. Do the, I beg you. Like somebody who has no relationship with God. When you begin to have relationship with God, you begin to understand that some things belong to you. Amen? When I pray, I don't beg God. I'm in relationship. Hallelujah. When you're in relationship, you can make a claim. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, say, when you're in relationship, say to somebody, say, when you're in relationship, good relationship, you can make a claim. Hallelujah. Not beg, you claim. Because now, you understand that you have something in them and they have something in you. Hallelujah. Imagine me walking to a restaurant and say, where's my food? Just go to the restaurant and say, where's my food? They will reply you, where is your money? Well, if I go home, hallelujah, and I see my wonderful wife in a good mood, I can say what? Sweetheart. you put some prefix. Okay, don't tell them it's a prefix, okay? They don't want to know that it's a prefix. Where's my food? It's relationship, isn't it? It's what? Relationship. Praise the Lord. Okay, time is ticking. So we started late, but open to round up in 10 minutes. So quick one. I won't take answers for this. Who is the owner of your body? I think we know that. What? Yes, let's take answers actually. Who is the owner of your body? I like that answer. No, I like the answer. Tell us. Who is the owner of your body?
Me.
Yes. I like that. Where is Sean again? He's gone again. Who is the owner of your body? Any different answer? Who is the owner of your body?
God.
God? Okay. Who is the owner of your body? I'm coming to you, mommy.
Yeah, no, I was going to say God.
God? Okay. Who is the owner of your body?
Your husband is the owner of your body.
That is your wife. If you are what? A wife. You have two owners now. There's a senior owner and there's a junior owner. But the junior owner must also submit to the senior owner. Hallelujah. You know? As a man, don't ever make that mistake. Amen? Your wife is your body. It's not your body. Because as the head and the body. But you yourself, you are part of what? Of the body of Christ. So you must treat her the way Christ will treat her. Amen? That's your goal. That's your aspiration. You lose ownership if you walk away from your own submission to Christ. Amen? Paul said, be imitators of me. That is, follow my example, as I also imitate Christ. If you see me imitating Christ, follow me. If I'm following Christ and you don't follow me, God will judge you. I'm your pastor. Yeah? I'm teaching you the right thing, but you refuse. You are stubborn. You refuse to follow. God will judge you for it. Because I was following Christ. But if I was not following Christ, it's a different ballgame. Are you with me? Yeah? So the husband is the owner of the wife, but not the owner in that sense. He's the head. Amen? Hallelujah. Think about it. The head is not the owner of the body. Huh? Amen? The head is the leader of the body. Amen? The head is what? The leader. Your head does not own your body. It leads it. Amen? It leads it. Both the head and the body, they form one complete whole. Amen? Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the head of every woman is her husband. But the head of the husband is what? Christ. Do you know even Christ has head? The head of Christ is who? God. Hallelujah. There's no head of God. Hallelujah. Okay, let me finish that list. Oh, my list. What things can disturb the function of the body? Sickness and disease, alcohol and hard drugs, general weakness, fatigue and tiredness, stress and sleeplessness, injury and accident. There are some problems in your body that you are praying God to deliver you from, but you caused it. You took extreme, unnecessary risk with your body, and you exposed it to injury and accident. Amen? There are some problems you don't ever need to go through in your life. Amen? If you are driving and you drive with care and you obey the traffic rules, some problems will not happen in your life. Amen? They will just not happen. If you are not playing by the cliff edge, you're not likely to fall into the ditch. Huh? I know, if you fall into it, you say, praise the God, deliver you, and thank God, deliver you, but you didn't need to. Amen? So, there is due diligence, yeah, in avoiding injury and accident. Okay? Let me just say that. Starvation and dehydration. Gluttony and obesity. But these other two, they are higher layers, but they affect the function of the body. Mental depression and spiritual oppression. They can affect the body. Okay, that list is not exhaustive. I'm just showing you the things. But we understand that we need our body to function. And we understand that God is the owner of our body. Because 1 Corinthians says it. He said you are bought with a price. He said you do not own yourself. God is the owner. That's first and foremost. Then, if you are married, you have an assistant owner. But actually, if you read the Bible very well, it's both ways. 1 Corinthians 7, go and read it. He said that the husband does not have power over his body alone. That he's not the owner of his body. The owner of the body of the husband is who? The wife. That's why if you are your husband, you mess around with your body, you are being unfaithful. You are violating ownership. Okay? It's an ownership problem. You are violating ownership. The wife owns the body of the husband. It's in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 7. And the husband owns the body of the wife. It's in 1 Corinthians 7. Read it. It's clearly there. Hallelujah. But the husband is also, apart from ownership, they are both owners of their bodies. But the husband is the head of the wife. That's talking about leadership. Amen? Every boat needs what? A captain. Amen? If as a wife, you are not respecting your husband, you are like a headless chicken. You will lack order and direction. Amen? You respect. Amen? And you submit as unto the Lord. Of course, if your husband is telling you, you should not pay your tithe, you should disobey him and pay it. Because there's a senior owner. Amen? But even in the disobedience, you should respect him. You can do it respectfully. There are many ways. If you don't know how to do it respectfully, ask Sister T.Y. She will tell you after the service. There are many ways you can respectfully disobey that instruction and not, you know, disrespect him, but still obey God. Amen? Praise the Lord. We're rounding off God early. Less than another 5 minutes. So you know who you are to your body? You are the caretaker. Jesus says, I'm the caretaker of my body. You know, caretakers are very important. You know, whenever the owner is not around, Who do you put in charge? So Jesus said, I'm the caretaker of my body. Therefore, I need to take good care of my body. Praise the Lord. I want to finish on this note. One of the ways you take good care of your body, the first thing you need to do for your body is fight for good health. Because you need good health for good works. If you don't have good health, you can't do as many good works as God will have you do. So I've already settled the question. God does not want me sick. Jesus does not want me sick. And the Holy Spirit needs me. He needs me to be well. You know why he needs me? The Holy Spirit cannot function on the earth without you. Oh, that will blow your mind. Anything God wants to do on this earth, he needs a person. Look, this is the story. The legal right to operate on the earth and express on the earth, yeah, is in the body. Let me explain that again. The legal right for any being to operate on the earth is that they need what? A body. That's why someone who has lost their body can no longer operate on the earth. That's why demons need a body. Even the devil, when he wants to do anything on the earth, he doesn't do it directly. He will need what? To walk through what? People. Or he needs the permission of people. That's why in some particular cities and towns, some particular evil is reigning there. Because the people there, they have permitted the devil. Amen? Are you with me? You can't just go to a city and say, I'm going to pull down all the strongholds in this city. You know why? It's about also the people living there. The best way to pull down the strongholds in the city is to preach and get people saved. Then those strongholds will lose power. You know there's a story in the Bible that they wanted to... I'm not going to say the Bible. A man of God. But it's consistent with the Bible. He wants to cast out a demon. He wants to say, no, I'm not going. He said, I command in the name of Jesus. He said, no. He said, because this man wants me to stay. The host wants him to stay. He will stay. If the host wanted it to go, but he was powerless, you can help. But if the host said, I want you to stay. That's why some prayers can never be answered. One of the greatest hindrances to the answer to your prayer is your stubbornness. Because if God wants to move in your life and you're holding on to something, yeah, that is a hindrance to what God wants to do, so long you keep holding on to it, God cannot move. Because for God to move, he will need to override your will and force it down your throat. So what God will do is he will allow you to go through trials. And tribulation, so that it can humble you, so that you can finally let go. But some people will even never let go. Are you with me? God cannot override your will. He said, God, just make me do it. He won't. But the devil will. The devil can make you do something you don't want to do. God, don't pray that type of prayer to God. God works very much with your will. He wants you to be willing. You may be weak, but if you are willing, he will give you grace. Amen? That's why we say God resists the proud, but he gives grace. Hallelujah. God is not overwhelmed by your weakness. He has a solution. The solution is what? Grace. But you know what will bring grace to your life? Willingness to cooperate with God. Praise the Lord. Okay, time is gone. So let me just round up on the base of good health. The Holy Spirit, for him to have expression on the earth, he needs my body. See, now I'm preaching. The Holy Spirit is talking to me. He needs my body. When last did you see the Holy Spirit? When last? The Holy Spirit who will express itself in your home is inside your spirit right now. But the expression in your home is through your body. The things you say and the things you do. When God wants to bring healing to lies, he will use somebody. Amen. The question is it going to be you? Hallelujah. God wants to bring deliverance for the oppressed. Who will he use? Somebody. He will raise up somebody. God wants to change the law in the land. Who will he, for righteousness? Who will he use? He will not just use one random LP somewhere who does not know. He will have to raise up somebody who can cooperate, who is willing. The Holy Spirit needs my body. So the Holy Spirit needs my body to be well. Let me show you where I'm going. What I'm going is that, so when Satan shows up in my body with sickness or weakness, I should be bold to tell him that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that I do not permit him to stay there. This is the real point I'm trying to make. Do not accept everything life throws at you. Do not accept everything Satan throws on your body. Resist it. And one of the ways is declare, my body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When something showed up on my hand, which I didn't like, on my, in the skin of my hand, I said, no, these hands are anointed. I used them to pray for people. You can't stay there. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's what I'm trying to teach you today, that you want to understand that your body, say my body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I glorify God in my body through good health. Hallelujah. Doctor has brought a report and said something is wrong. Huh? That's a fact. Nobody is disturbing the body. My body is the temple. So it cannot be wrong. I do not accept it. I do not permit it. It must go. Because if it stays, I can't function for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So I speak to you and say, in the name of Jesus, I do not permit you to stay. You know why? This is a temple. Amen. A temple does not accommodate unholy things. Sickness is an unholy thing. Now, don't we wait and say, God will do it for you. You have to stand up and make your claim on what belongs to you. How can I know that you're in faith? You say, yeah, I believe God for healing. And I want to test you that you're in faith. You know what I need to do? I need to just sit down, cross my legs, and listen to everything you say. Even you are saying, oh, the pain is there. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you are not in faith. When you're in faith, you must speak out what you believe, despite your feelings. So when I'm in faith, I'm dealing with it. I speak to it. I say, in the name of Jesus, I command fresh skin to overtake. Faith. In the name of Jesus, I command you pain, leave my body. In the name of Jesus, I speak to my womb. You are fertile and whole. You are productive. You must do that despite whatever the evidence. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I command my intestines to function well. Huh? You say you couldn't do it? I thought John 1:20 said you're a son of God. He said he gave you the right. Eh? There are some things you don't pray to God for. If everything you are praying to God about, is it death? There are some things, if there's a mountain in your life, you have to speak to it. Amen? The only thing I would do to God when I'm praying about him, I can pray one time, and that's it. The only thing I would do to God after is just thank him. Say, Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you, because this is gone from my body. I thank you because this cannot remain in my body. I thank you because my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I thank you because I am healed and made whole. That's faith walking. That's faith walking. But what if I'm saying, Father, heal me. I begged you yesterday. I begged you last week. Heal me. Are you not hearing me? No, that's not faith. Amen? Now what servants do? They beg for mercy. Hallelujah. But you have access to the whole inheritance. You know that senior son of the prodigal son, his big brother? That was his sin. There were two prodigal sons, not one. The senior brother did not understand. He said, Father, you know, I worked out for you. And yes, you did not give me anything to even do a little party with my friends. Now this one is coming, you are giving him. He said, son, all that I have is what? Is yours. He could have thrown a party after work one day. He had access. He had access. You have access to the inheritance. You claim it. and you stake your claim. You speak, you believe. You speak, you believe. Then you will see miracle. You will see miracle. Hallelujah. You will see miracle. And there's a reason why I now understand why I need to be in good health all the time. So that I can function for the Holy Spirit. Let's rise up and pray. Just thank God today for what you have learned. You know, there's a word in my spirit right now. To him that believes. To him that believes, all things are well. What was God trying to teach us when Sarah, a 90-year-old woman, became pregnant and gave birth? God is trying to tell us that I'm the one who owns the body. I'm the one what? In control. Even when the facts are said, everything's over, I can do. I do new things. I can create what needs to be created. But for God to do that, he needs you to believe. When you believe, you will start speaking. Say, just say, when I believe, I will start speaking what I believe. Talk to God about that. Make that commitment. Say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers my body for good health. Hallelujah. He said, the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead will quicken. It will quicken your mortal body. I declare that my mortal body, this one I'm in right now, is being quickened. It's being empowered. It's being strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Right now, right here in church, I receive strength into my body. Where there has been pain, I command you pain, leave my body now. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't give an excuse. Age is not an excuse even with God. Look at the story of Abraham and Sarah. Don't, you are the one always finding excuses. Don't find excuses. Forget excuses. Focus on what God has given to you. I say in the name of Jesus, I speak to my internal organs. Receive life. Receive quickening. Because the Holy Spirit is in me. I receive strength. I receive quickening. Every part of my body. You know, if there's a part of your body that is hurting you or has been hurting you, put your hands on it and say, receive life. Receive life from the Holy Ghost. Receive life. Receive life. I receive life in my blood. I receive life in my joints. I receive life in my intestines. I receive life in my blood. In my water. I receive life in my womb. I receive life in my feet. I receive life. In my flesh, my skin, I receive life. It's the life of the Holy Ghost, except if the Holy Spirit is not living in me. But if it's living in me, I receive life. I receive life. Quickening. My body is quickened. It's quickened. It's revitalized. It's empowered. I'm not going to live based on any facts. I'm going to live on the truth. And the truth says that if the same Spirit that raised up Christ dwells in me, you need to settle that question. Is it dwelling in you? If you have settled it that it's dwelling in you, he said that same Spirit will give life to your mortal body. It's there to empower you for good health. Okay? Well, speak to your body, speak to your life. Say, I will live long. I will not die young. I will fulfill the number of my days. It's personal. You know, I say, you can't do it for somebody. It's personal. I'm not going to die. I will live for good works. I will live to declare the good works of God. I will function maximally for the Holy Spirit. I'm not going down. My body is not shutting down. My body is rising up. I'm becoming stronger. I'm better. Every good thing that God has put in me is finding expression through my body. I'm a blessing to my world. I'm a blessing to my children. I'm a blessing to generations to come. My life that is alive right now. Good things are flowing forth. I'm solving problems for people. I'm solving problems for people. I'm bringing people into the kingdom. My body. Say that. Say my body. Is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am empowered for good health. For good works. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.